What's up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast, episode 77 on May 29th, 2021. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, aka your best friend, aka your supervisor. Get back to work, you.
I don't like that one at all.
Man, I was trying to think of something real quick to add on there.
It sounds like no relation to anything.
Oh god, this is gonna be hard to keep going now. Okay, across from me, Michael's number one. Michael, it's off the rails. I can't. I'm trying to cry.
Do you ever, you know,
Sonic's number one fan, Michael Panarero.
Do you ever, you know, just wake up some mornings, and I'm sure you can attest to this too, multiple times. You wake up some mornings and you're like, man, I'm just so glad I'm a massive Sonic fan. You know, in 2021, we're getting so much Sonic content that I am ecstatic. And that's not sarcasm. That is the truth.
Yeah, actually,
coming from my heart.
And this is a funny thing because, you know, obviously this is very topical because this week we got, you know, the first huge Sonic announcement, I don't know, all year. Was there something earlier this year?
Nope.
Okay.
Something minor, but nothing.
Okay. Maybe they talked about something coming up this year, and this is it.
It is Sonic's
30th anniversary.
30th anniversary, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got to get the running. His legs turn into a zero, and there's a three, and yep, 30th anniversary over there.
There you go.
That'll make sense if you actually watch this. What do they call it? Sonic?
Central.
There we go. But yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves. This is a podcast about video games, all the things we love about them, sometimes new games that we've been playing, and other tight things over there. Tight. Super tight, Michael.
Indeed.
This week, it's going to be a little bit different because, you know, sometimes we talk about news as well. If sometimes people write in to brosandconsoles@gmail.com about things they want us to talk about. But this week, we've got a lot of announcements that happened over the course of, like, the past 3 days or so. So we're kind of going to go into all of those different things and, you know, stop here and there, make small pit stops about kind of the different things we were talking about. And yeah, the crazy thing is that one of those things is a super long, like, list of stuff that I had to write out because I watched it this morning to just kind of get a recap because it happened during work and I'm like, I ain't got time to watch all these announcements. But yeah, I watched it this morning and I was like, wow, this for some reason is like the longest, you know, like, list of announcements within one, like, show thing compared to, like, all the other four or five things that were announced and stuff. Mm-hmm. All the other showcases that happened. So I was like, okay, well, we're going with this. Here we go. So to start everything off, we've got some new dates, and I'm going to kind of just lump all these new dates together. So it'll kind of, you know, slight spoilers for some of the announcements that happened. But we had the, you know, earlier in the week, we had the announcement of the Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl release dates. It's coming on November 19th of this year. Very exciting.
Nice.
Apparently, both of them are going to be $60 each, so not as exciting.
No, but it's Nintendo's track record, so.
Mm-hmm, true. I mean, granted, these are pretty much, like, remakes. They're not, you know, obviously,
essentially,
they're, you know, happening in the same world and whatnot. Same, I would assume, like, storyline and stuff as the original Diamond and Pearl, but the whole entire game looks vastly different.
Yeah.
But I think if you were to, apparently from what I've read, so pre-orders are available for those things. If you want to pre-order both, like together kind of thing, because sometimes that happens at places and stuff, right? You can do that, but you're still paying $120.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot.
Pro tip, what I might say right now is, like, you know, if you want to pre-order it and everything, that's fine. Most likely, it's not going to, I would assume it's not going to have, like, a shortage. You're not going to be having a hard time finding things. And if you do, there's always digital, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But pro tip, at Costco, for at least, like, Sword and Shield, when that came out and stuff, I think there was a dual pack. You could buy both of them. Mm. I don't remember if it was at launch, but you could buy both of them and you save about $10.
Oh, okay.
It was like $109 or something like that, right? $109.99. So you save a little bit of money to buy both together.
Right.
Which I wish I had known previously, so I could have just bought that and then, you know, had both games kind of thing. But I was a sucker. I used the Nintendo gift voucher, I think, for Shield.
Right.
So
it's a shame with these Costco deals that you can't get any of them unless you have a Costco card.
Yeah.
You have to buy the Costco card and then be able to buy the game.
Yeah. And it, you know, makes sense if you're going to Costco quite a bit and stuff.
True.
Like, you know, that's usually where we get most of our things, like milk and eggs and, you know, regular foods, I guess, like meats and mashed potatoes and things like that. And then we kind of supplement with, like, other stores here and there for other things, like more like fresh vegetables and stuff.
Right.
Man, another pro tip, vegetables and, well, I'd say mostly fruits. Fruits for sure. Sometimes vegetables, kind of sketchy over at Costco.
Yeah.
You don't want to go for the bulk over there.
No.
Oh, man. This is coming from someone who used to work at Costco as well.
There you go. You have the deets.
Yeah, the stories I heard from people who worked with, like, the fruits and vegetables and stuff, not great. You don't want to be touching that stuff, people. Yeah, moving right along from Costco over there. We also got Pokemon Legends Arceus was announced for January 28th of next year, which is crazy, Michael. This seems way faster than I expected it was going to be.
I can see this one being delayed again.
I could too. How often does Nintendo delay things, though?
Can
you think of many examples of that?
I know there's been some. But I don't think any, like, high profile it as. They're normally, when they give a date, they're normally, like, pinpoint.
Yeah, like, I can't think of the last, like, you know, main, like, Nintendo game that's been delayed. Or even, like, most Nintendo games. I'm not talking about, like, indie titles and stuff, but, like, ones that are, you know, like, Pokemon, Zelda, Mario, I don't know, Smash Brothers, things like that. They're pretty much just always, like, on the dot.
Hit that mark they initially say, yeah.
Yeah, and it's I feel like usually, you know, you only get the dates once they're like, you know, yeah, we're ready for this coming up kind of thing, and then they hit it. Whereas, you know, I don't know, first party PlayStation, Xbox, things like that can get pushed, and we have no idea of which ones are going to happen or not.
True. Nintendo's normally good with that, but...
Yeah. So that's why I'm just like, huh. When I hear it, I'm like, I trust you guys. Also, though, sounds super soon. It
does sound super soon.
Man, so exciting. Thinking about open world Pokemon game, yeah. Michael. Sounds really cool.
That's what people want, man.
Oh, that's what people have been wanting for a while. Still looks like they got some of that battle system, right? Like the
turn-based
battle.
It doesn't look like it's like pure action. You still have that Pokemon normal battle system, but
yeah, which I guess makes sense because if you were to throw out your own Pokemon and then take over and it be like more of an action-based kind of thing, like, would it then become like Pokken Tournament where you're like controlling the Pokemon and pressing buttons to fight kind of thing?
I think of like Ni No Kuni, kind of.
Oh,
because
okay.
You throw out whatever monster you have, and then you control that monster, and you just attack with it.
Mm-hmm. Even Ni No Kuni actually was like had like that wheel that you choose like attack, and they just start attacking until that timer goes out, and then you can choose like skills and stuff and those kinds of things. Yeah, so that's kind of like it's like an in between kind of thing, I guess, kind of similar to what is that? Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Right? That kind of similar kind of thing where you press the attack thing so that you're auto-attacking, and then in between you can use skills and stuff.
You don't even press the button. It just auto-attacks for you.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
So it's even simpler.
Even simpler.
you just press the buttons when you want to change the skills and stuff.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So then, yeah, all these kinds of things are kind of interesting hybrids. So it'll be fun to kind of see what they end up choosing for the actual like final thing, or if it just looks like regular Pokemon. It's like, hey, you got four moves, which one do you want to use? The Pokemon can't remember garbage, so if you want to use more than four, they got to forget something.
Well, I'm excited to hopefully they'll show more, maybe, I don't know if during E3, but in the next couple months I'm assuming we'll get something.
Yeah, we've got to be getting something, because it's weird to just drop release dates like this, because it's not like they dropped additional trailers and things, and we're dropping it right around like 2 weeks before E3 kind of stuff starts happening, and you know, Summer Games Fest as well.
Yeah,
so if that's the case, I would assume announcements are coming for those things. Maybe we'll see it a little bit more, because Nintendo has a showcase I think that they're doing, or a direct during E3, I believe. So hopefully we'll get to see some of that stuff, and that'll be very, very exciting. We have to do our
Predictions.
Yeah, predictions kind of thing coming up.
I haven't even thought about that.
I haven't thought about it much either. I'm not prepared at all. I guess the only time would be probably next week. So
yeah.
Maybe we'll work on that this week and see what happens. We'll talk later to figure out exactly what our like criteria is going to be and what we're betting on. Oh, geez. Put it in the books. Michael says Dreamcast 2.
You heard it here first.
Oh, man. Okay. But yeah, I think besides the Pokemon stuff, though, the next ones that we had kind of coming up, we had a Sonic game, Sonic Colors Ultimate, remaster of the original Sonic Colors, which apparently was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll talk when we do the conference, I'll talk more about these things, but...
Yeah, of course. That one has a date for September 7th of this year. We had Dying Light 2 announced for December... Wait, sorry, did I say December or September for Sonic?
I think you said September.
Okay, cool.
Because that's when it's coming.
Okay, cool, cool. But yeah, Dying Light 2, now retitled Stay Human, is coming December 7th of 2021. And Far Cry 6 come in... Oh, I'm sorry, all these months. Jeez. October 7th. All like similar, all sevens too.
Yeah.
They're messing with
seven,
me.
7, 7, 7.
Ah, jeez. October 7th of this year, Far Cry 6 is coming out. And then this one I threw in there because it was kind of like more like, I don't know, suddenly announced kind of thing. One of the indie games that PlayStation showed at their, you know, kind of like third-party indie state of play a while back, Chicory, A Colorful Tale, coming out June 10th. So nice. Only, I think, a couple weeks from now.
Yeah.
So pretty cool.
Less than 2 weeks. Cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah, real, real soon now. But yeah, so those are the new dates that I kind of scrounged together. A whole bunch of things were announced this week. I'm going to go into some of the updates now. Some of these not related to the announcements, but just kind of small things that I thought we could throw in there. Apparently, BlizzCon 2021 has been canceled, which I'm... You know, obviously, I'm not a huge, like, Blizzard game person and stuff, but mm-hmm. I was kind of liking the trailers for Diablo 4 and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And usually, Blizzard's, you know, when they announce things, it's at, like, a BlizzCon kind of mm-hmm. thing. They don't really tend to do a lot of, like, E3
outside,
other, yeah. like, outside things. They like to do it on their own, right? Because they're big enough to do that. So with that canceled for this year and their, like, you know, supposed next, like, global events being in early 2022, I'm like, man, we ain't hearing about anything from them for a while.
Probably not, unless they do their own.
Yeah, unless yeah, they do, like, another digital thing sometime during everything, during the Games Fest, maybe. But, yeah. So maybe going to be quiet a little bit for Diablo 4. But I think they have the, Diablo 2 remastered coming out pretty soon.
That's exciting, too.
In the next 1 or 2 months, so... Pretty cool to take a look for that. We had Dragon Quest 12 as announced during the Dragon Quest showcase. And let's just go ahead and talk about that one, because it was, what, their 35th anniversary?
Yes.
I think, right? So we had the... we just looked up his name earlier. What was his name? Joseph Greenwood?
Joy.
I think was... Yeah, his stage name is Joy. Joseph Greenwood. I think he's like a... English, Japanese
TV personality,
yeah. And you know, he kind of hosted the event and whatnot with Yuji Horii, and it was an event, Michael.
Yep, that's all we need to say about the event in general.
Oh man,
the format of it was
The format, like,
interesting,
very much so aimed like
a Japanese,
aimed at a Japanese target. Audience kind of thing. Obviously. Well, I shouldn't say obviously, because I didn't even really know this was the case. Apparently, Dragon Quest is, like, the most popular JRPG franchise in Japan,
mm-hmm.
which is wild to think about. I would have thought it would be, like, Persona or something like that. But, yeah, so it's being the most popular RPG in Japan, it was kind of built like a, you know, something a Japanese audience would be watching and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think they said this was the first time it was going to be... I don't know if simulcast is the right word, but like broadcast with like additional translation kind of going on there. So they kind of had like live translation going on, and I think they said in 4 different languages besides Japanese.
Yeah.
So obviously English was one of those things, and oh boy.
I felt bad for the person having to translate.
Yeah, it was a bit rough. Like If you kind of know a bit of, like, Japanese language and stuff, like, you know that, you know, they're talking a mile a minute sometimes, and the way they speak can be difficult to, like, on the fly translate into English. So, in my mind, I've always been like, man, people who can translate that quickly and stuff...
Impressive.
Very impressive. Like, first off, very impressive. I could never do something like that. It takes my brain a while to process
things. I can't even process English well.
Yeah, dude, like the processing power to be able to do that and then speak at the same time, super impressive. So, you know, the overall, you know, flow and everything, I don't think was brought down by the, you know, difficulty with like translation or, or interpretation, I should say. But, you know, for these kinds of things that are going to have like, you know, like these kind of interviews between the host and the, you know, the creator of Dragon Quest and whatnot. For those types of things, there's got to be some kind of script that they're like vaguely going off of, right? Like, I'm sure they could have shared a vague like script with the interpreters so that they had something to go off of rather than trying to, you know, translate in the moment everything. Translate everything, because that becomes a huge mess.
Yeah.
And obviously they're going so quickly, like, you know, speech is going so fast there that you're going to miss a whole bunch of things that are being said. And so people listening are just like super lost. For one, like they only had one interpreter interpreting for both people.
Yeah.
Which makes it so hard to follow along when, you know, you see two people speaking back and forth and the interpreter's voice is the same, mm-hmm. and they're just kind of saying it for both people. So you don't know where one person's statement's beginning or ending. You only know that when the camera cuts, someone else is talking.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh man, I wish that, you know, production-wise, they could have thought this through a little bit more. But announcements-wise,
that was
not too bad.
Pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'll say it started off real slow, right? And I had this on my phone. I think I remember a little bit. So I think in total there were, like, they counted five. Them as, like, six total announcements, I believe. And I had, hold on a second, announcements, is that, there we go, okay. So I wrote things down as eight. I think they said themselves six, and I put in a couple things there. So their first one was called Dragon Quest Keshi Keshi. For, you know, this is a mobile game that's pretty much only going to be coming out in Japan, if I understand right. It's actually a puzzle genre, which is a new entry type of thing for Dragon Quest itself, and all the characters are erasers. And the it's such a weird concept. But the name, like Keshigomu, actually means eraser in Japanese, so hence the weird Keshi Keshi kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, weird, interesting kind of new thing. Mobile market, not really
for somebody.
Yeah, not really our bag. It's for somebody though, right? Japan's real big on the mobile kind of stuff. So that was the first announcement. Dragon Quest X is apparently getting next versions for their MMO, which I had no idea was an MMO.
I didn't either.
I'm in my Dragon Quest experience, it's like the really early games and then 11. Like,
yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then drop off, then makes 11. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I've totally lost the plot in between, like, number, like, 3 and 11.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what any of those things are. I know that there's, like, different, like, iconic characters, like, main characters from each one, and I really only know, like, what they look like from seeing pictures occasionally, and then sometimes, like, Smash Brothers, when you had the hero become a character, and you see all these different Dragon Quest people in there. But yeah, like after playing 3, I didn't play anything until 11. And so now I'm just like, man, 10 being an MMO, I was like, I was watching the gameplay and I was like, are they making a Dragon Quest MMO? Not knowing that 10 was already one. And I was like, all right, there you go. but they talked about, you know, the new versions for that. They don't have, and the great thing there is that, you know, they did all this work to, you know, have interpretation for multiple countries and stuff that wanted to watch. And then in the corner for this, you know, talk about the new versions, it said no worldwide release planned.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, what's the point?
Apparently that's like a running thing. Cause I was watching, looking at Imrom on Twitter. Apparently Dragon Quest X, people have wanted it to come to the West.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And it just never has. And he said, it's never will.
Yeah.
The game is never coming to the West.
Yeah, for real. Like, looking at it, I'm like, you know, like, one, this looks like an old game. Just like, it's probably not something you want to come to the West. If you want MMO stuff, there's plenty of MMOs out there. And you can just play Dragon Quest as well, you know? Just put them on two TVs. You're all set. But yeah, I don't think we'd ever see number 10 coming this way, especially when they can just keep making new ones and maybe westernize those.
It's almost like we'll never get Mother 3.
Yeah, probably also there too.
Because why not?
Oh my gosh. Then the next thing they talked about was Dragon Quest X Offline, which...
It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, obviously, like, they talked about, like, hey, you know, so many people wanted to play it, but they don't, you know, want to play with an internet connection. I think they're still talking about people in Japan at that point, because it didn't sound like we're getting this in the West at all.
Nope. Very targeted.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they also mentioned, like, oh, but, you know, also, like, this game looks way different than, like, the regular Dragon Quest X. It's, like, very, like... chibi, small, cute characters. And I was like, man, this is for somebody, but is it for also the people who want to play Dragon Quest X and don't want to play it online?
Like, for somebody, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where, you know, that's where the conference at that point, I mean, we're probably like 15 plus minutes into things at that point. And I was like, this is rough, man. Like, give me something, guys. Give me something that I can be excited about. And then they came out swinging, Michael, because they came out with, they showed Dragon Quest III, like the old version, not even the Game Boy version that I played previously, but like the old version.
Yeah.
And as it was going across the screen and everything, I'm seeing, you know, the character like walk around, and I'm like, oh man, that's Dragon Quest III. Like, I didn't play this version, but I know what that is. And he's walking around in the town and stuff, and then it changes, and the whole look of it changes, and it looks like we're looking at Octopath Traveler.
You know, just inject this HD 2D style into my veins, man. Make mm-hmm. every game like this. This exactly, is fantastic.
Dude. Oh my gosh. I was so blown away by this, because I was like, are you kidding? I think we were texting back and forth at that point. And I was like, are you kidding? We're getting Dragon Quest III HD 2D remake? I was like, dude, and at that point I was like so excited, but also like, what why not 1 and 2 also? Like, what's going on there? And then when they went back to the interview thing, the what's called Joy was interviewing the creator and stuff, and he asked the creator, he's like, oh, I'm sure, like, you know, people are going to ask about, like, you know, why start at 3 and, you know, what about like 1 and 2 and stuff? And then the creator was like, oh, like, we really want to work on 1 and 2. And
yep.
And then the stupid, like, the whistle thing starts blowing on
don't
the
say too much.
In the background. Yeah, I guess like people, I would assume like PR people and stuff being like, hey, like, don't say too much there. Like, don't start coming out with these statements and stuff. But the creator was saying like they want to work on 1 yep. and 2. And so assumedly this is probably like a testing bed to see if it does well and if they can go back and remake those things. But man,
I think this is just my favorite art style mm-hmm. in video games. It's just so pleasing to look at.
Yeah, for real. I've never seen an old game look as good as this.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Final Fantasy VII Remake doesn't count as much in my mind because
yeah, that's more modern.
Yeah, it's modern, but it's also a slightly different take on the yeah. game, right? But this, like, you know, oof. Staying faithful to like the kind of JRPG old, like, turn-based kind of style and everything, I was just like, man,
it looks so good.
It looks so amazing. I can't even believe it. I'm still flabbergasted, Michael.
Man, if it nope, not gonna say that, never mind.
Now the well, yeah, we'll come back to that. We'll come back around Red Robin over here. We're putting a pin in it. The next one that they talked about, oh yeah, that's why I had 8 things listed out, because they mentioned the wanting to work on 1 and 2, but nothing happening at the moment. At the end of that trailer for the HD 2D remake, there was Japanese at the bottom, and it basically translates to the, you know, production has just started, right? Mm-hmm. Or production's commenced, basically. So we're probably not seeing that for a little while, maybe like a few years kind of thing. But at this point in time, like, man, just start working on a bunch of these HD 2D games, Michael. I want to see a lot of things.
Make all my games like this, like I said. Sonic, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay, just do it. Let's not go that crazy. Are we? Then they talked about a game called Dragon Quest Treasures, which mm-hmm. I thought was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Apparently, one of the characters in 11, Eric, the I don't know, dual wielding dagger dude, kind of reminds me of like a thief kind of character.
He's
oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you're gonna say it. Never mind. You're gonna say it, I think.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say he's the main character in Dragon Quest Treasures, along with, it sounds like, his sister Mia mm-hmm. or something like that. I don't know the characters because I didn't go far enough into that game. I recently bought it on sale, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna.
Did you ever play 11 at all?
Yeah, I played some. I just okay. never. I got to the point where Eric had joined the party.
Oh, okay.
And then I'd been walking around with him and fighting monsters and stuff. I don't think I got like much further. Any further than that.
Okay.
Yeah. So and weird side tangent kind of thing. For a little while, I've been like, hey, I want to play like 11 again, but I want to play it digitally because I have the disc and I'm lazy. I don't want to get off the couch, apparently, to put my discs into the PS5.
As we all don't.
So I was looking for it, and I was like, oh, I just want to, you know, I know that they have the S edition kind of thing, which is, you know, the newest definitive edition and whatnot. But it's always been like $40 and I'm just yeah. like, eh, you know, maybe the regular edition is like on sale or something because I already have the disc. I don't want to pay full price again. So I was looking for it and I'm like, hey, like, it's gone. Like, it doesn't exist on the store anymore.
Oh.
So I think they took off the original edition when they put on the definitive edition.
Interesting.
Yeah. So now it's really the only thing you can buy on there, but I believe they're two separate trophy lists.
Oh, nice.
So
it would make sense because I think they've added things to it, to the game, and mm-hmm. they have the pixel version that you can play.
Yeah, yeah. You can choose between like retro or like, you know, the modern kind of look and stuff, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, weird kind of thing to find out. And then the nice thing now, right now, is that I said now a bunch of times. The nice thing is that Dragon Quest 11S, Definitive Edition. It's on sale, I think, for like $24 or something.
Yeah,
so it's pretty good deal right now. So I picked it up so I can start playing that again. But let's see. Yeah, so Eric and Mia, main characters of Dragon Quest Treasures, looks kind of like a cute game. Like I would try this out if I came to the West. And you work with monsters apparently, and kind of use their different abilities to get different treasures and stuff. And it's like a treasure hunting game from the looks of things. Then something that they mentioned in the kind of in between segment again, like kind of the talking back and forth, they mentioned that apparently a Dragon Quest Monsters game is being worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was exciting because I remember playing some of those in the Game Boy and I was like, ooh, that was a lot of fun. Like it's like Dragon Quest Pokemon, basically.
Oh, okay.
Where you would not capture monsters. Oh, that, you remember?
No, you mentioned that because one of the VTubers I watch has been playing exactly what you've been describing, like a monster, not like you catch them, but you collect.
Yeah, it's
a
like
certain
you,
amount. Yeah,
I remember in because I played
that makes sense now.
Dragon Quest. Was it Dragon Quest Warriors Monsters? Man, it was a weird title. Monsters 2, and I had so there was that was back when they were making them like the Pokemon games, right? Mm-hmm. You had like two different versions, and you could get different monsters in each one, kind of thing. I played Tara's Adventure, I believe, and there was Colby's Journey was the other one, or Kobe's Journey. But I remember playing that game, and basically when you want to bring the monsters to your team and everything, rather than throwing out Pokeballs and trapping them kind of thing, you feed them like pieces of jerky or like food and stuff. And then it's not a guarantee kind of thing. It's just like you feed them and then you beat them up because that's what you
exactly
do, right? You feed them and you make them faint afterwards, right? And once you've won the battle, if you're lucky with like the random number generator going on in the background, your chances increase when you feed them stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're lucky about it, they get up afterwards and they kind of like walk over to you and you're like, hey, can I join your team?
Yep.
And you're like, come on, little snake dude, you're my team now.
It was a
really cool, like interesting kind of way of doing it. You could even recruit some of the bosses that you fought.
Ooh.
If you were lucky enough.
Right.
So I know like I think the first level in the first main world was like this desert oasis kind of world. And the main big bad boss that you fought at the end was like this genie lamp kind of creature. And if you were lucky about it, which I think I got lucky one of the times, probably just by like, you know, quitting the game and like reloading it, the save and stuff like that, and doing the fight again, you can have them join your team and stuff. And then you got this little lamp dude following you around and a lot of zany fun over there.
Right. Pakora is the one.
It was Pakora.
She's playing it. Yeah, she's my favorite. But she's, I think, in the game she's playing, I'm not sure which one it is, but she has completed collecting all 237.
Wow.
To her team.
That's impressive, dude.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's pretty wild.
She does stream like 8 hours a day, so.
Oh, okay. There you go. A lot of time there. So yeah, they talked about it's being worked on at the moment. No announcements at the time, but kind of probably more to come later on. And then a quick tease of Dragon Quest XII, subtitled The Flames of Fate, which was pretty dark looking. I liked the look
Dragon
of it.
Dragon Quest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was kind of one of the things they talked about, because obviously it was a super short tease. It looks like it was just kind of like an X and an I and fire, and then like another slash went through to make it 12, right, for Roman numerals. But yeah, it looked real dark. There was like a line in there that just kind of like, you know, some... shadowy sounding dude asking
deep voice.
They translated it as like, what's the meaning of life? It was kind of, I feel like it's more like, you know, why do people live kind of thing. But I could see how you get there. But interesting kind of like feel to it. Definitely felt way dark. And then when they were talking in the interview afterwards, you know, they touched on the whole like darker tones and stuff, and the creator was saying like, yeah, they kind of wanted to take it in the direction of more of a like adult kind of Dragon Quest. Some of the things that they talked about in there, I didn't quite understand. they kind of mentioned a little bit that they were possibly going away from the traditional battle system.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they hadn't talked really too much about, like, what that's going to look like. They don't have any, like, consoles or dates in mind at the moment that they've announced or anything. But something to look forward
to. It's a nice palate. Mm-hmm. What's the word? Taste. I was going to say palate cleanser, but it's not really a palate cleanser.
Yeah, it's not like our palate was needed cleansing.
Nice dip of your toe in the water.
Yeah, know? Yeah. It's a good like preview of things to come. So very exciting over there. That was a nice way to start off the...
I agree.
The like big announcements at the end of the week.
I was going to say, it was a weird time at 8 o'clock, but I realized it was being broadcast in Japan and they had different times.
Yeah.
So it made sense.
They're like a day ahead. Yeah, it all worked out. Then I'm gonna skip towards the end of the week, and then we're gonna circle back around because you know, Far Cry 6 had its announcement yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Had a new gameplay trailer. It's about like 4.5 minutes or so. If people wanted to watch it, I thought it was pretty cool.
I did too. I think it looks great.
Mm-hmm. I think it's... I'm trying to think. It's been a long while since I've played the Far Cry, like the earlier Far Cry games. Did you feel it looked vastly different from like the more recent ones?
I wouldn't say it looked different. It looked better. Like,
okay, did it look better?
Okay. It did look better. Gotcha, yes. Okay. Quality wise, looks wise, model wise, it looked like... if how would I describe it? If a good comparison, it's like how I would say how Dark Souls 3 looks compared to say
like Dark Souls 2 or something.
Yeah. Or Dark Souls 1, even.
Gotcha. Okay, because going from 1 to 3. Okay, a pretty big jump.
two to 3. It looks... there's a significant difference in like the models and character wise.
Okay.
But it's... we talked about this beforehand, we started briefly. Recording.
Mm-hmm.
Something about it being Far Cry. I'm sure they're doing different things. I'm sure they're doing more things and changing it up and stuff. I think I've just hit a wall with Far Cry. It's just been the same... I don't want to say it's been the same game every version.
Yeah.
But it's almost been the same game every version.
We don't want to say it, but it is.
It's just more Far Cry, and it looks better and stuff. I'm like, yes, it's just cooler, but...
Yeah.
It's more Far Cry.
Yeah. Like, it's not super exciting, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, and I don't think... I can't think of a like really a way anymore to make it super exciting.
I don't either.
Like
it's
one of the few like first person shooter like story kind of driven open world shooters kind of stuff, and it's not really like a super... maybe this is just our personal tastes kind of aligning and whatnot.
Probably is, yeah.
But it's not a super exciting like genre itself.
No,
you know, like obviously kind of going around doing your own thing in an open world is cool, but in first person, like doing all that stuff, and then also, you know, just shooting everything that moves kind of thing. Like, it's not super exciting.
No,
right?
It's the same thing over and over.
Yeah. And then, you know, those games really depend, like, I think pretty heavily on, you know, just the story itself. So if the story's not super strong and the characters aren't super strong, then the game just kind of suffers as a whole. And when you're kind of, you know, depending on those things and track record wise, like, you know, consistency hasn't kind of always been there and stuff. You've had some really cool, like, bad guys and whatnot, but kind of those set-piece moments are kind of a little too far spread out within the game.
Yeah.
Depending on how people play it. Just doesn't feel like it kind of keeps the energy going all the way.
I always realize that Far Cry, they always tend to have really good villains, like Voss and Pagan Min and the dude in the fifth one. I don't remember his name. Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph.
Something.
Farron.
Yeah, sure.
That's the dude from EA stuff.
But they're all very good bad guys in my mind. I think they're very good. Yeah. But it's always, I don't want to say so much side characters, but the main character that you play as that is just always bland.
Yeah. And that's...
there's never anything cool about them. They're just a generic protagonist thrown in my mind.
Yeah.
And you're saving the day.
Yeah. And I want to say part of that, I think, tends to happen because you're in first person, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think the general idea with first person games is you're supposed to be the character, right? Which I know not everyone kind of gets into that mindset when you're playing games. Sometimes you're just playing. You're just like, oh, I'm playing as this dude, but it's not me, right?
That's me.
Yeah, that's Michael's mindset for it. Like, when I'm playing first-person games, I'm like, yeah, like, I'm supposed to be this person. Obviously, they'll talk sometimes, and that's their character, but, like, the choices I make and stuff are things that I would want to do in mm-hmm. this situation. But, yeah, when the characters you're playing as, and you don't see them that often, then it's just like, well, you know, if something happens to them, you don't feel as connected, right?
Sure.
I think the things that looks like it's different with this game compared to, like, previous games is that you are apparently seeing yourself more in third person occasionally, mm-hmm. and then your character is actually, like, talking in these cutscenes and stuff. Oh, not just talking, but, like,
you actually have
them in the cutscene. Yeah, it's not like you're the camera kind of thing mm-hmm. still. It's like you see them talking with people, so you'll see facial expressions and things. You're playing a female character who's in this resistance kind of thing, and, you know, you see her talking with, like, other people in the resistance and kind of going out and doing these crazy acrobatic moves and stuff, shooting rockets off her back.
I'm glad it's a female character too.
Yeah, that's really cool. I feel like, you know, these types of, I mean, I'm kind of what's called jumping to conclusions here, but, like, the, you know, the poster for Far Cry 6 where it's like, you know, the dictator in the background with, like, I don't remember if he has his hands on, like,
I think he has his hands on,
okay,
his,
it does, okay, so
shoulders,
hands on the shoulders of, you know, their child kind of thing. And it kind of, I assume it's your character. Like, mm-hmm. I assume you're the character, but, like, that's when you were young kind of thing, and now you've, you know, gone away. Because it looks like the same kind of face, but just younger, essentially. So if that's kind of what they're leading to, where it's like, you know, the character, and they had some dialogue in the trailer, I think, too, where it made it sound like, you know, the dictator knows you type of thing, and you're maybe kind of like rebelling against them, and it's actually your father type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If that's kind of what they're building towards, that would be a more interesting kind of dynamic, I think, than what we've gotten from previous games, where it's just like, oh, you know, number five, you're this character who's sent in to go infiltrate this town, and surprise, like, everyone's a bad guy. There's nothing going on. And then, you know, number three, which I think is the one we both played probably the most. What's it called? You're just a random, I don't know, random teenage adult person who landed on this island because you're super rich and bratty, and then you know, pirates capture you. now everything's bad. So it's like, yeah, not the greatest, no, like, stories and stuff and relationships, but, yeah, this kind of new take on things might be more interesting.
To be fair, four had your main character was tied into the story a little bit more.
Yeah, a little
bit. With Pig and Ming and your mom and whatever. Mm-hmm. But even then, he still felt very...
You still feel very distant, right? You don't feel as connected to it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see, because this is obviously coming out towards the end of the year now, and around the time when we're getting probably a lot of, like, bigger games and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see it being much, like, making much of a splash kind of, like, later on?
No.
Yeah.
I can see it being talked about for a little bit and then disappearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of
the vibes I get, too. As most Far Cry games have in the past.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, when they first announced, what was it? Was it called Far Cry New Dawn? Is that what it was called?
Oh, yeah, the...
The one that supposedly,
came out during, like, Rage 2.
Mm-hmm, yeah, right around Rage 2 time. But, yeah, it was, like, the sequel to Far Cry 5 kind of thing. And it was just, like, yeah, it was a cool announcement, but it came and went with the wind, you know? Like, nothing really happened. Nothing really changed. So, yeah, it's just kind of, it feels like this series is kind of, I don't know, I might even say, like, overstaying its welcome kind mm-hmm. of thing. Like, maybe it's time to,
I agree. You know. I almost chalk it up to, it, not in the same vein, but more like a personal thing of how I feel about Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
I know they've changed from, with Origins and then Odyssey, and they're going down a new...
Yeah. Valhalla, so, like, the latest three games have a very different vibe than the first games. Yeah,
that's why I mentioned it's kind of similar, but almost in the same game. Like, it's just more Assassin's Creed, and I'm like, I've hit that wall with that too. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I don't know what else to say. It's just, yeah, I'm not invested in this anymore.
Yeah, Ubisoft's an interesting company because they're one of the.
Wow.
Yeah, they're all Ubisoft.
Wow.
They're one of the few companies who have, like, this long, you know, line of games within a single franchise kind of thing, and they just keep doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess they keep selling because they keep doing it, but at the same time, it's just like, you know, like, you get to a point eventually where it's like, yeah, you know, like, do something else.
Yeah, please, right?
Come on, like,
change it up. Give me not the same. consistent thing all, across all these games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it was nice getting Immortals Fenyx Rising just because it was so different.
Different take, yeah.
And it didn't... Obviously, it felt like a Ubisoft open world kind of thing, but it didn't feel the same as most of their other games because it was zany and, like, mm-hmm. comical and stuff inside there, too. And the look was pretty different compared to a lot of things.
Even Steep.
Oh, Steep, yeah.
I love Steep, but mm-hmm. it also had that same Ubisoft open world feel, even though you're...
Somehow, yeah.
Yeah.
It still somehow has that. And then what? I guess they got Riders Republic will be their next extreme sports kind of mm-hmm. game and stuff, which is like Steep combined with
biking and other stuff.
Like it's like snow and ground dirt sports, yeah. You know, snow and dirt sports basically all mixed together. But yeah, interesting how, you know, they just keep on going along somehow.
They do.
And, you know, at the same time, they just apparently don't care about Splinter Cell anymore, Michael.
I don't think that's ever coming, man.
My gosh, dude. It's got to be coming. It's ridiculous. How can you just keep going with stuff like Far Cry and leave Splinter Cell behind? You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Sam Fisher going to sneak up in the night and just murder Far Cry one day.
Maybe he'll appear in Fortnite.
Oh, please no. No. I would buy it, but no.
You would buy
it,
yeah.
I would buy it, but please no. Oh, my gosh. All right. Going on from there, though, yeah, so that now we went from the end of the week. Now we're going back kind of in order again. The next one was on Thursday, morning time, 9 o'clock. Sonic's time to shine. Actually, like we said already, a pretty hefty list of announcements.
I want to say, starting off, mm-hmm. because I had talks with not just Adam, but other people, too, about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I personally appreciated mm-hmm. all they showed. Now it's not all for me,
yeah,
obviously, yeah. But I think I like how they know Sonic has multiple things around and people love him in all different kinds of media. So we're just going to throw everything out there. We're yeah. going to make super weird hip-hop necklaces.
Oh my gosh, dude.
We're just gonna go all in, man.
Yeah, it's like the epitome of the phrase throwing spaghetti at a wall and seeing what sticks.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Oh my gosh, it couldn't be more of a Sonic
for
thing.
Sure.
Oh,
it's ridiculous,
man. All right, so I'm gonna run through everything and then I'm gonna ask you the big question of what you thought overall, right?
Yep.
Thoughts overall. So, in the beginning, right? Sounds like I'm starting to write a weird biography mm-hmm. for Sonic. The first announcement was actually a free digital concert that we're going to be getting.
That's cool.
Yeah, very, very cool looking.
They
got
free too.
Symphony kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. Free concert coming on Sonic's actual birthday, I believe, June 23rd. So, mark your calendars for that. It is going to have like a full like symphonic orchestra as well as Crush 40 and some other...
Yeah.
People that apparently do Sonic music and stuff. Crush 40, you know, for people who are unaware, being the I don't know, genre called butt rock, apparently, that do majority of the Sonic songs.
Sonic
and
Adventure 1 to Heroes to
mm-hmm. Yeah, basically all Sonic songs that have vocals kind of sung.
They didn't do Forces because the theme song for Forces was Hoopastank.
Really?
Yeah.
What the heck? All right. Doesn't make any sense here. So after the, you know, after talking about the digital concert going on, they showed in one of the weirdest, which is saying a lot because they had a few weird ones.
Yep.
One of the weirdest announcements, they showed off a game that I didn't know was an actual video game called Olympic Games, the official video game. This is the 2020 Tokyo version. Coming out June 22nd, and no, I didn't throw that into new dates, because I don't think it deserves a new date.
No.
Such a
Sonic announcement.
Yeah, and in a Sonic announcement thing as well. Apparently, though, Sonic's, you know, play in that is that your human character can dress up in a Sonic the Mascot outfit and just do ridiculous things, like run track and field and jump over hurdles and... box with regular people in a boxing ring.
Because why not, you know?
So much weird stuff going on. But it's all happening in Olympic Games, the official video game. After that, we got another weird announcement. Two Point Hospital is getting what they call a Sonic pack, where you can play as a Sonic dress-up character and just go about your hospital building business.
Because why wouldn't you want to see Sonic in a hospital when you're dying, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a Make-A-Wish Foundation or something. Maybe. Like, who knows? But yeah, so they had that. And then they had an appearance of Lost Judgment, surprisingly. Yeah. Which I was
this is exciting for me.
Yeah, it was cool to see. I was like, okay. Like, they're pimping Lost Judgment a little bit. I respect it. But also, like you're throwing in Sonic minigames? Like, what's going on here? Because obviously in the, you know, Yakuza and Judgment series, Sega arcades are always a thing, mm-hmm. right? And apparently in there, they're bringing out an arcade cabinet for Sonic the Fighters.
Yep.
And
played this on the Sonic GameCube collection.
Oh, really? Okay.
Surprisingly fun, but real, real bad at the same time. I'll be honest.
Do those things work together?
It
being surprisingly fun, but real bad?
It's like I chalk it up to like how sometimes bad movies are good because they're just funny.
I see.
And good to laugh at.
Okay.
And sometimes fun just to watch.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it looks like an old Sonic game, but it's a fighting game, mm-hmm. which I'm just like, what?
Saturn what? Original.
Who thought this needed to be made, people? Like, who wanted to brawl as Sonic versus Tails and Knuckles and Shadow? And I'm just like, what's happening here, guys?
The urge is there.
Yeah. So that's going on. Then, you know, they mentioned how more collaborations will be coming in the future, like throughout the year, and real quick sneak peek showed like a real quick image of like a Minecraft world with like a chicken, and the only reason you know it's Minecraft is because the chicken was there, mm-hmm. I feel like. And I was like, is Sonic coming to Minecraft now? Like, what's happening over here?
You know,
maybe they're just gonna create a Minecraft world and theme. Let everybody play it, like, who knows?
Maybe.
But yeah, or a Sonic theme. Please don't make me pay for a Sonic theme.
Oh god, give it to me for free.
Now, if it's not free, would you pay for it?
Probably not. I don't have any team in Minecraft. I don't think those are worth it.
Oh my gosh. But Michael, you're Sonic's number one fan. You gotta do it.
Not to that extent.
Wow. All right. So after that one, though, we had an actual, like, we got back to some actual announcement things. Sonic Colors Ultimate is coming out for, I think,
all the systems.
I think all the systems. I don't know if it's coming to PS5, but PS4, it sounds
sure.
It sounds like last gen console kind of things mainly, but coming out on September 7th, so new thing for that.
This is great.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Never played it myself. I heard it is the most well liked modern 3D Sonic game.
Oh, out of all of them. Yeah, and I've heard people, or I shouldn't say people. I heard Tim from Kind of Funny kind of talking about how the game was, you know, good. He wouldn't say it was great.
Yeah,
but
for Sonic 3D standards, that's great.
Yeah. If you're going 3D standards, everything goes down a peg a little bit. So if that's the case, then yeah, it sounds like it's probably pretty decent.
And even the thing I do appreciate is it's not going to be $60.
Oh, really?
$39.99.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because I've seen the pre-order pop up now that you mention it. So yeah, $39.99. Easy buy for people if you mm-hmm. want a remastered kind of game that was pretty decent, it sounds like. After that, we got news of one of the TV shows, I guess, that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Sonic Colors Rise of the Wisps, and apparently the first episode is coming out early in the summer of 2021 there.
So, oh, cool. I like the animation style.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty cool animation kind of style there. Then we had a showcase of the, you know, few titles coming to PS Now, and I forget the Amazon thing. What's it called?
Luna.
Yeah,
Luna.
Okay. So Amazon Luna apparently is going to be getting a few games as well. So we're apparently getting Sonic Mania, Sonic Forces, and Team Sonic Racing all coming to PS Now and Luna,
nice.
Or Amazon Luna. And then this is where I got a little bit confused, because there was some more mobile games kind of mm-hmm. talked about, right? So they talked about Sonic Dash. There was some kind of exclusive things going on there. You can
Shadow and all that.
Yeah, you can unlock a specific like skin or something like that if you play some of these special levels and whatnot. Then they mentioned Sonic Forces. Is Sonic Forces a regular game, but also a mobile game?
It's also a mobile game, but it's not. Like, I don't think it's the same game.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say it definitely doesn't look like the same game, but
it's another mobile Sonic game.
Gotcha. Okay, Sega, why would you do this to us? Why would you have two of the exact same name be different games?
That's a Sonic move.
Oh my gosh! All right, so they had, you know, Sonic Forces happening there. That one. They talked about having like a limited time event as well, which I'm now that I think about it, I don't remember if the shadow thing was for Sonic Forces or if it was for Sonic Dash.
I don't.
It was one of the two, right?
One of the two, yeah.
And then go back to some of the TV stuff. Apparently, there's a Netflix series that's going to be coming out in 2022 called Sonic Prime.
Yeah, with Roger Craig.
Were you aware of this?
No, Roger Craig was the original, was the first.
Yeah, Roger Craig Smith was the first original Sonic TV Sonic show. Voice, yeah.
No, I didn't know about this.
Okay, yeah, because I was like, this is news to me.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who was talking, what was the name?
I can't remember his name.
So I definitely don't remember his actual name. I was trying to think of the studio name, and I'm forgetting that even. But he said that they had previously worked on shows like Ben 10 Omniverse and the hero team for Big Hero 6. And I was like, that's pretty wild. That's a pretty good padding for a team working on a Sonic franchise there. So it's I was like, all right, man. That sounds not too bad. It's on Netflix. I'll probably check it out to see what's up.
Oh, nice.
Hey, I mean, when the Sonic movie was actually good, that's when I was like,
that sets the bar higher, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, you know, there actually can be some good Sonic things, apparently. You just have to have the right things in it.
Exactly.
And then we, you know, kind of went off the rails a bit into Sonic merch. So,
amazing.
This was, man, one of the most ridiculous things in this showcase. But, you know, first thing they showed, some kind of, like, Sonic versus Eggman toy kind of thing. Where it's like, a Robotnik robot who looks like his chest can be like hit inwards kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you have like a catapult and you use the catapult and like a Sonic all balled up to, I guess, hit Eggman. If you hit him in the chest, maybe you win kind of thing. Some kind of kid toy, right?
Yeah.
Reminds me of those old time kid toys where it's like you had the small basketballs and a hoop. And
oh, you'd
like flick it to try to get it in the hoop. Reminds me of that a little bit.
It's a good comparison.
Mm-hmm. And then we get into what they call, I think, King Ice.
I don't even know who that is.
I have no idea who it is either.
But
I thought it was just ice as in like ice, like the one of those terms for like bling kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But man.
The fact they said they started off saying, oh, for those hip-hop fans.
Yeah. Like, yeah, when they go into, you know, like, yeah, for those of you who are hip-hop fans, and I'm like, what are you talking about here? Like, what's happening? And then they show, these like four different necklaces that are just like gold chains, blinged out, like Sonic, what was it? Sonic, Tails, Knuckles.
And Shadow.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see Knuckles, but I was like, there was one other person besides Shadow. They had these four characters, like their faces studded out in like colored jewel looking things or like, you know, pseudo jewels or whatever. And then gold chains. I was just like, something's happening here. And it's for somebody.
It is for somebody.
Blessing was real excited about this.
He was real excited about this. I'll get the Sonic one. You get the Tails or Knuckles one. And then we'll just wear them to the Sonic movie 2 premiere.
There's absolutely no way. Yeah. You ever catch me wear one of these things.
I agree, don't worry.
Like, one, I don't think I look good in gold anything.
Yeah.
Two, I don't think gold Sonic looks good on anything. Except for Super Sonic in video games.
Oh, probably the so only idea. Random, though.
Oh, my gosh, dude. So, so crazy. There was one more thing after that. I think it had to do with Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah.
Sonic kind of stuff. Collection I didn't thing. Catch what that one was because I was so...
It was like a big anthology.
Gotcha. Book. Okay. Yeah, I was so thrown off by the King Ice Sonic necklaces that I could not have like comprehended what was going
anything
on
else.
After that. And then, you know, to finish off the showcase and whatnot, you know, they were wrapping things up. The, you know, main dude comes back, he's like, wait, we got one more thing I want to show the fans. And they're like, all right, let's do it. And so they go into this, now we're looking at kind of like next gen looking graphics and whatnot. You see the blue blur kind of like running through this forest kind of area. The forest looks really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, you know, assuming this is going to be something like 4K and pretty cool looking stuff. Sonic looked like he was kind of like digitized a little bit.
Yeah.
Like he had like weird like tech digital traces behind him as he ran around. You couldn't see his face at all.
He looks like a mix between modern Sonic and older Sonic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like he had the shorter body that you see in like some of the older Sonic kind of designs and whatnot, but he's running real fast, And then he does this weird, like, loop in the trees and things. You know, in between there, you get, like, a Team Sonic logo or something. He does this weird, you know, zigzaggy in the trees. And then the tree zigzaggy trail that he left behind starts to turn. And you just see this weird-looking...
Looks like Zap, maybe?
Yeah. See this weird-looking art thing that is given no context afterwards. You get that art thing, it fades, and you get the 2022 that pops up, and then nothing.
Yep.
That's
this is the one disappointing thing.
That was
not in terms of what the game is, but how they showed it.
Yeah,
it wasn't, like, I don't even consider it a teaser. It was just
it's a tease for sure.
A very light tease. Sonic running and a thing pops up, and that's it. No release date, no nothing.
Yeah. This is like the epitome of what a tease is.
Yes.
Because it's like not even giving you any context for anything, and yet it's like, hey, we're showing you something there. Be excited.
I can give you. Now, this isn't confirmed by Sega or anything, but there was things...
Could you imagine if it was?
Oh, that'd be...
Oh, I thought it was like, if Sega had confirmed with you...
Oh, if it confirmed me, that'd be amazing. They called my phone.
Oh, man.
But there's been people on Twitter that say this is actually the truth. Like, this is real information.
Yeah.
That somebody who play tested the game...
Oh, yeah.
Or what
yeah.
it is, released on Twitter, or not Twitter, but Reddit, or I think 4chan or something, what the game is, what he played.
Yeah, okay.
So take this with a grain of salt.
Or like a whole teaspoon of salt.
Yeah. It is going to be an open world Sonic game. And almost the same vein as like Breath of the Wild.
Oh.
Where you'll have bosses to fight, you run around, do Sonic things, and all that.
Okay.
Man. Not essentially, but I say Breath of the Wild, like,
yeah,
and just like how the setting is and takes place.
Gosh, is that how they described it on their post or whatnot?
That's what the game is. These
okay, yeah. So I'm gonna say if they use the words Breath of the Wild kind of thing, man, I would assume that this is like the biggest like hoax posting kind of thing ever. Just because, I mean, obviously, you know, if the tease like that, it's so ambiguous that you can extrapolate whatever you want from it. And then thinking that, yeah, like, lately, Breath of the Wild is the biggest, like, hot word or hot, like, keyword kind of thing to use to describe new, awesome open world games kind of stuff. So that kind of, yeah, I wouldn't even give that a rumor the time of day,
in my opinion. I don't know, because IGN has, and GameStop picked it up, too, saying, I'll read a little bit. Sega Sonic's team has announced that it's working on a new game for 2020. The game formally doesn't have a title right now, but trailer files has, as along with the Reddit post, has hastily altered press release suggests that the game could be called Sonic Rangers. They went into the files and stuff.
Wait, what files? What are these?
Trailer files.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
I gotta see some sources, IGN. Tell me what you're getting this from.
Let's see. The Ranger's name gained more credibility when Eurogamer pointed out that the press release for Sonic Stream also makes brief mention of a game called Sonic Rangers. And then people who extrapolated data from the trailer itself, like coded and stuff, found file names, stuff that said Sonic quotation Rangers all across it.
Okay.
So again, like I said, take it with a grain of salt. It could not be a Sonic open world game. It could not be called Sonic Rangers, but
yeah, I mean, yeah,
I thought it was interesting.
Generally, like, you know, when posts like this happen, like right after a like tease has been released, it's way more sketch in my mind than if it were to happen before we get that trailer kind of thing. Because if you were to release that and be like, hey, like this new thing's going to be shown, it's going to be a tease that's like this long kind of stuff or like super short, looks pretty new gen, and it'll be this blah, 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 right? If you're going like that and you're coming out with that ahead of time, then I'm like, okay, I'm maybe more inclined to believe it. If you're coming out after this thing has all been like done and be like, hey, like this is what I play tested, like here it is kind of thing. And like you're just, you know, throwing things out into the wind at that point for people to grab up on websites and whatnot.
I want to make a correction to myself.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently this post at this Reddit guy, because they have the screenshot of it on Reddit that he posted this on January 6, 2021, and it's just making the waves now. So apparently people didn't know about it. They're like, oh, we're going to talk this off or brush this off. But now the trailer came out, and then now it's gaining traction again.
All right.
So I guess that makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah. So then that makes more sense why outlets would possibly pick it up and stuff then. Okay, all right. So then we're gonna move that teaspoon to maybe like half a teaspoon.
But again, it's made by Sonic Team, who's made most of the 3D Sonic games, and those haven't been very good, so.
Yeah, that's why I'm still like, not encouraging. Oh, man. Would you prefer that, like, Sonic just stop being made in 3D? Would you prefer it just to kind of all be 2D? Like, what's your kind of preferred way to play Sonic, you think?
I do like Sonic Adventure 1, 2, and Heroes a lot.
Now, do you think they're better games than Mania was?
I think that's where I would probably say no. I think I prefer, personally, more of the 2D, just run across the stream and jump and stuff, more so than the 3D games, but yeah, I can see the appeal in the 3D ones.
Yeah, yeah. Like, honestly, the appeal in the 3D ones for me is, like, it actually seems fast, whereas the 2D ones, it seems slow still.
Makes sense.
And I think it's just, you know, it's all preference. The way that the game is, like, created and stuff, I don't think you can really get great speed in there without, like, memorization and stuff and going through routes, which I think is what they expect you to do, but not something that I would have the time and, like, energy to want to do.
Right.
But the 3D games are kind of, you know, in a way, almost kind of like, I don't know, like, like help you along with the whole, like, route that you go in. It feels way more, like, scripted and kind of, like, routine and whatnot, but you get that speed element that you can't, I feel like, properly visualize in a 2D game when it's just, like, the one screen you're looking at. You see a lot of more dimensions that way.
Completely agree.
But, yeah, it'll be interesting. So, overall, Michael, overall. One out of ten. one to ten. What would you rate the Sonic Central Showcase?
Honestly, I would rate it a 7.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I thought it showed things that I'm excited for. Mm-hmm. It showed things that aren't for me, and some ridiculous things.
Some things I don't care about at all.
It gave me a tease of some new Sonic IP they're making. Mm-hmm. So it was good.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And then I guess since the Dragon Quest one was also technically a conference kind of thing with multiple announcements, what would you rate that overall, you think? I would, so for Sonic, while you're thinking about that, well, for Sonic, I'd probably say like a 7 as well. That seems like a good place to put it. I think Dragon Quest for me, man, it's like the things that they announced later on were way more exciting,
I think,
personally, than Sonic.
Go, yeah.
But the actual, like, presentation of the showcase was god-awful. So I think for Dragon Quest, it'd probably be, like, a 6.
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay.
Like, yeah. The two things for the Dragon Quest that made it for me is the remake of 3 and the tease for 12, and everything else was like, But for the Sonic one, there was more that I enjoyed overall.
Yeah.
So the tough thing, also.
Yeah, the tough thing is that, like, clearly, like, you know, Dragon Quest is way more video game focused, and Sonic is, like, spreading out its tendrils everywhere. But in terms of, yeah, just, like, presentation and everything like that, like, way more enjoyable to watch the Sonic Central one. Even, like, some of the announcements that I don't care about are cooler than some of the announcements that were shown in Dragon Quest kind of stuff. Like, Keshi, like, I don't care about that at all, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know how you make that exciting. But yeah, I mean, just like, and when I go on a scale, I know that, you know, some people listening may be like, oh man, you could explore the scale more, right? And I'm like, no, this is hard, like 6.0. Like, there's no
exactly.
There's no, like, you know, there's no other decimal points I need to worry about. And yeah, you know, same for the Sonic thing, 7.0.
Seven,
like,
right where it's at.
So moving from there, then we had actually the Dying Light 2. Stay Alive. Or no, Stay Human. That's it. Stay Human. Stay Alive is a video game song. Movie a long time ago. and a song. But yeah, Dying Light 2, Stay Human, finally get to see, like, that appearing like a zombie out of the grave, right?
Mm-hmm.
And very, yeah, very, very timely like that, right? But it was surprisingly cool to kind of see this in kind of the state that it's in right now. I thought that the presentation overall for this, because it was also like another short kind of, I don't know, 20-30 minute kind of thing that they had going on there, where they talked to, like, developers and kind of talked a little bit more about the systems and whatnot, and then eventually went to the gameplay trailer. cool, like, you know, cool new systems that they're kind of showing in there. I liked kind of the back and forth that we kind of got to know a little bit more about things in there. And when you're focusing on one specific game, I feel like this is kind of a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think can get a little long in the tooth when you're leading up to a trailer type of thing, but I don't know if there's really a great way to kind of do both of those thing, both of those things without people just coming for the trailer and dropping off afterwards.
Exactly, exactly.
But a lot of cool new kind of like mechanics that we are now like kind of like seeing and finally understanding that this game is not just totally dead and messed up.
Gosh, it literally just disappeared off the face of the earth.
It did, yeah. And it was real, real sad at the time when it was just like, hey guys, we're going into hibernation, or at least you won't hear from us for a while. we're going to go silent indefinitely until we're ready.
They're like cicadas. Every, 17 years, they come out of the ground. And
yeah, and then they die after a little bit. Oh, geez, hopefully they're not like cicadas. But yeah, it looked pretty cool. I was excited about this.
As we both know, we both like Dying Light 1, so.
Yeah. Like, I didn't realize how, like, average critically Dying Light 1 was. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that Dying Light 2 will be more of, like, a breakout kind of thing for it, but not hopeful enough to put this on my fantasy
No, league. Me neither. I was tempted, but I was like, no, probably not.
Yeah, like, I was just like, oh, it's already, you know, it's in December that it's supposedly coming to us.
Could be pushed.
This one I could see being pushed possibly. But, you know, at the same time, like, I don't know if they can afford to push it more.
True.
Because when you go into an indefinite delay and then you come back and you set a date, you can't push it again.
No,
like, there's no way. Like, your game is just dead at that point, well, if that's well,
you,
the case.
I was going to say you could, but you'd be cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And you don't want
but that. Like, but I
they
mean,
didn't like disappear if, off
I would
the
say
face
if
of
Cyberpunk
earth,
could actually, like, you know, if they had set their date and been like, now we're going to push it kind of thing. Like, that would have been better than what happened with Cyberpunk as well.
100%.
Cyberpunk's still not on the PlayStation Store, Michael.
Nope.
It's crazy. It's been like 6 months. 6 months. And I mean, I have it physically too, and I don't even want to play it. Like, I'm just like, I'm
no
just
interest
gonna,
anymore.
I'm going to, yeah, I don't care anymore to play it. And I think, like, oh, cool update that's, you know, for PS5 stuff. I don't remember when it happened, maybe like a month or so ago. One of the newer updates that came through finally got rid of the error that was always popping up when you would basically you would delete games from your storage and the icon would stay on your desk or your dashboard bar, and you had to do these weird things where, like, you know, like for digital games, if it would do that, you'd have to start the download and then cancel and delete the download while it was going on.
Interesting.
And that would make the icon go away. And it would happen pretty consistently with almost all games. Unless you deleted like a bunch at once, then maybe you only get one or two that pop up on there.
Mm-hmm.
For disc games, you were totally screwed. Because I had Cyberpunk with a disc, right? And I was playing it that way. And that thing's like 100-something gigabytes. So I was like, man, I don't have the interest to play this right now. I want to delete it. And I would do that. And then it would just show me Cyberpunk all the time on my dashboard and be like, hey, you want to play this? You got to put your disc in and download it again. And I'm like, I don't want to. Take it away,
stop
please.
It.
But I couldn't do it because with discs, you can't do that whole like delete while it's installing thing because the disc is physically in there.
Yeah.
And it messed me up so long, Michael. So long. I was so annoyed. And then finally, one day when I turned the thing on and it had updated, it was gone. And I was like, thank goodness.
I don't have to see this anymore.
Oh my gosh. I don't have to think about this anymore.
This is a nightmare.
Yeah, for real, dude. Because they only give you like, I think eight games that you can see constantly. Like the most... the most recent eight games that you've played basically show up on there, and then they have an icon for the store and for like the what's new kind of section thing, more like announcements and stuff from PlayStation.
Right.
So it's more curated kind of thing, but even less games than you normally see on like the Switch as well. And I'm just like, oh, show me everything, guys. Give me folders back. All right. Tangent on the PS5 is done. But yeah, what would you say about the I was going to say Far Cry. What would you say about Dying Light 2? What kind of stood out to you the most in that trailer stuff?
I liked the faction stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like how you can... each faction has... They were talking about different... I don't know if it was like skill trees. Not skill trees, or different perks.
I think you... as you kind of ally yourself with different factions, you unlock different abilities, I would assume, within your skill trees and things.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, you know, if you choose, like, say, like the military faction and whatnot, you lose the ability to gain these other skills from, I don't know, say like the, what are they called? The Nightrunners, I think. The right. That kind of other faction you can ally yourself with, or I think one of them. But yeah, it's like if you choose to go back down one path, you lock yourself out of this entire mm-hmm. other thing within the game. And that's by design. Like yep. they want you to make these choices and kind of, you know, build your world and change things as you go.
It would be curious to see if, I'm sure it'll be like where each faction has both good and bad.
Yeah.
Like there's not one like pure like good choice and there's not one like pure bad choice. You just have to like that gray area. I'm like, oh, I guess I'll pick these guys, but these guys are like cooler, but they kill people and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think one of the things they mentioned in the trailer was that, yeah, they are looking to basically have in both factions or however many factions they have, complex characters. So mm-hmm. it's not just like, hey, like these are the good guys and these are the bad guys. Like you can choose your side.
Sparky.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, everything's messy, right? Like this whole game is built on the idea that, you know, it's 15 years after the zombie apocalypse and, you know, factions have sprung up to like fill power vacuums and stuff in this new society.
The last remaining city.
Yeah, right? I'm just like, oh, that sucks. Also, though, made me kind of mad because the idea that like when they first introduced in the trailer, they're like, hey, like this is happening 15 years after the events of Dying Light 1 and humanity lost the war. And I'm like, but why? Like, all my work in the first game was like, hey, like, we're doing good stuff here. We're trapped in this city with all the zombies and stuff. And we're, you know, everything's sealed off. Like, no one's getting out, right? That was one of the main things in the story there. And so your character at the end was like, all right, so, like, you know, we're surviving in here. We're going to make it till, like, help gets to us. We don't know when that's going to happen. And they, you know, tied that in loosely to the whole idea of, like, after you finish the main story, you can keep playing the game and whatnot. And it, you know, can't canonically make sense.
Did you ever play the DLC?
I started a little bit. I want to play more. I haven't.
That ending's real crazy.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe that would explain more, possibly. You let me know if it does, but...
Not really.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Makes sense within the game, but not the 15 years later.
Okay, yeah, because then I was just like, 15 years later, we lost? Like, why? And yeah. Then I think they talked a little bit, it might have been one of the developer things that they talked about how, like, oh, you know, like the military or, like, you know, science people and stuff decided it would be a good idea to keep experimenting with this zombie virus.
Good old cop out.
Yeah, and I'm like, really? Really, guys? Like, you cordon off an entire city, city of Haran or something, and make-believe city, not real city. You cordon off this entire city area because of this outbreak that's uncontrollable, and then you're like, hey, it's a good idea to just, like, you know, keep toying with this zombie virus strain and make new strains. And then, you know, the story later is that, you know, of course, one of them gets out and now the rest of the world is messed up.
Of course.
And it's like, well, guys, come on.
It's got to be a better.
There's got to be a better way to get into this period. Like, maybe, you know, you try to go in to save the people of Haran, like, after so long, and then things go bad and zombies get out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they've mutated in there and they escape and they're like, hey,
they,
wherever we're now.
They grow drills on their hands. They drill out of the city.
Oh, jeez, that's insane, man. Yeah, there could have been other ways, I think. So that kind of was disappointing to hear that was the story of what's going on mm-hmm. in number two. But I'm excited to play number two.
Yeah,
that was the main thing. So, I don't know, this one, since it's one game, I don't think we need to rate it.
Yeah, I was about to say, we shouldn't really compare it to the...
Yeah, when were we having a lot of exciting announcements, like, what was it, the Xbox Bethesda conference coming out on... Mm-hmm.
13th?
What is that? The 13th? Oh, so soon, Michael, so soon. When we have that, we'll talk more about rating and stuff again. But then the last one that we have, and I think this will probably be one of the last things that we talk about here as well. We had the gameplay showcase of Horizon Forbidden West.
Yep.
So we had it was a full, like, 20-minute kind of somewhat deep dive into the gameplay and everything. 14 minutes of it was actual gameplay, and then the rest was kind of, you know, people talking, explaining systems, which I kind of appreciated. I liked getting to know more of deets. Kind of what's going on. Yeah, deets. Give me those sweet deets, people.
That's all I want.
And then, yeah, just kind of getting to see the entire thing there of, like, you know, how Aloy and everybody looks now. Getting to see characters I had kind of forgotten about, like mm-hmm. Aaron.
Yep.
Mohawk Oseram, dude. Mohawk dude. But he's all beaten up, captured by these, like, raiders and things. Got raiders who are riding these, what do they call those things? I think Talon Striders or something, or Claw Striders. They're pretty, pretty, pretty crazy looking.
Yeah.
They're like raptors. And I was like, ooh, man, these are pretty nasty looking things. But yeah, I got to see some new machines. I got the I think claw striders, got the trimmer tusks, which are these like giant like woolly mammoth looking beasts. What's the other ones there? They mentioned something about these like things swimming through the water that looked kind of like otters a little bit, which I thought was cool. I like to see like the kind of more like normal looking machines based on normal animals.
They did say all machines are dangerous, so.
Yeah, because they were like, even those, I forget what they called them, even those, you know, those little otter looking dudes that swam through the water, you don't want to go up to them either because they'll attack you too. Yep. It's just like, oh man, rough. But dude, so many cool new systems within this game now. That is very, very exciting.
The two standouts for me was how it looked.
Oh yeah,
looked utterly beautiful. Mm-hmm. But two, I think the one big bad thing about Horizon Zero or Zero Dawn, the first one.
Yeah.
The thing that I didn't really like was the melee combat.
Yeah,
because like 90% of the game, I would just use bow and arrows and wouldn't really really use the physical stuff. But this one looks like the physical stuff. The melee looks a whole bunch better.
Yeah, it looks
like she has that
awesome
whole cut scene where she like puts it on her stick and then like shoots them or stabs them with her or whatever she did.
Yeah, I think they call them like Valor Strikes or something like that.
That looks super cool.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah, it's like if for people that didn't get to take a look at it, it's like kind of like Spider-Man where it's a cool like slow down, kind of like slow mo, like you. Ultimate move type of thing where
like
she's
pain kind of thing
or like that, like basically she pulled out this like weird attachment for her spear and like jammed it into this like slot on the spear and it like supercharges it with lightning and then she slams it into the ground and it stuns the big bad dude she's fighting. And I was like, that is awesome looking. Yep. I think besides that, you know, talking about the whole like melee thing, because that was my experience for sure like within the game. And then when I got to the DLC for Horizon Zero Dawn, I think maybe when I had gotten to the end of the very game or the first game, the staff I had like some electric stuff to it. So like if you hit monsters with the, because you had what, like a light attack and then like a heavy strike kind of thing. If you hit monsters with the heavy strike, you could like stun most creatures that you were fighting or like build like electric stun till they were stunned.
Mm-hmm.
And if you knocked them over, you could jump in with like a critical stab kind of thing. So I did that actually a lot during the end of the game. And then in the DLC stuff for the Frozen Wilds, I was doing that left and right.
Mm-hmm.
I was just coming up to dudes and just knocking them over, or like, you know, surprise attack to like knock off their like, you know, Gatling guns or bomb gun kind of things. And then coming up to him afterwards while they're like, oh, shaky, I'm stunned. And then I whack him a bunch and then start to shoot things at him.
Right.
So I used it a lot more interchangeably later on in the game. But yeah, like seeing the way that it's implemented now, which I assume is still early kind of game, very exciting. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for this thing, Michael.
Overall, it was great. I do think the one, I don't even want to say disappointing because they haven't really showed us anything on it before.
Mm-hmm.
Was there was no release date of any kind.
Yeah. I'd say there's, that was one of the things there.
Barrett Courtney on for Kind of Funny mentioned, I think, a good point. Because he posted on Twitter saying, I can see this game coming out this year, but I can also definitely see it being pushed to 2022.
Yeah.
And some guy commented on it, like, oh, no, I feel like this game definitely looks like it'll be coming out this year. They've shown things and stuff. But Barrett was like, yeah, that's true, but the fact they haven't even said 2021 for any point, like God of War, Ragnarok, they mentioned 2021.
Yeah.
But for this one, they haven't said any date of any kind. Mm-hmm. Makes it almost more believable that it isn't quite ready yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think, because I see that whole like point and stuff. And I think for me, what I assume is that, you know, if you're coming out with like a 20-minute showing of the game itself and you don't have any kind of like date at the end kind of thing, you maybe have something else lined up soon for like some type of announcement that maybe you just don't want to steal the thunder from, right? So if that's the case, maybe we'll hear something during E3 or like shortly or afterwards. Sony's or thing. If Sony has another thing there, they can do that. Summer Games Fest has something already in the works with that kind of thing.
The Keighley.
Yeah, Jeff Keighley. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense to have the announcements like later and have it still get a big pop and whatnot. Because I don't know why you would, because when you bring up God of War and stuff, the next coming game, right? Where we have already seen the 2021 for that, which, you know,
and not granted, even any gameplay.
Yeah. No gameplay at all. Like they said, 2021. Granted, saying it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but hopefully it's happening. Hopefully it's happening.
We'll see.
Give me my points for the Fantasy Critic. That's what I'm saying. But you know, if you have, you know, a little bit of stuff shown from Horizon's Forbidden West, and then nothing shown from, you know, the next God of War, except for the date or like the, you know, release window kind of thing, release year, it feels very backwards, right? Yeah. Where it's like you've seen too much of one thing, but not the thing that is going to tell you when it's ready. And the other one, it's like you've seen nothing except for when it could be ready kind of thing. And it's like you gotta do this like correctly here.
I wonder, it makes me wonder if like they had set dates for each, like one was coming out before the other.
Yeah.
And maybe like COVID affected one game more so than it affected something else. And they had like an original plan, so they had to like switch things around kind of or something.
Totally could have. Like another thing I kind of wonder is, you know, I think one thing that happened during the week, and I didn't read too much into it because I don't generally like to look too much into like rumors and things like that. But I think there was some rumors of like the Switch Pro being leaked a little bit. Yeah. So, and that's been something that we've been hearing about for a while, and all still in like rumors and whatnot, and no confirmation of anything yet. But if Switch Pro happens and Breath of the Wild 2 is happening with its launch kind of thing, which Michael would appreciate because for his Fantasy Critic, if that's the case there and Horizon is scared of that happening, I wouldn't announce a date either.
I wouldn't either. Like, that's honestly a very good point. I don't think you want, even with Horizon being fantastic, I don't think you want to release it the same time as.
Oh yeah. No way.
Breath of the Wild.
Like, too. So many annoying comparisons have happened between like Horizon and Breath of the Wild that I'm just like, guys, just they're very different games. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, they're both open world stuff, but they're so different. Like, I couldn't care less about Breath of the Wild compared to Horizon, and it's just because gameplay wise, like I love the way Breath of the Wild looked, but I hate the stamina bar. It is the worst thing ever in video games. Like, even in like things like, you know, Dark Souls and stuff like that, like it makes sense there. It makes no sense for me as Link to be like swimming and I run out of stamina and I just drown. I'm like, guys, that's not what the world is like. All right. Like, if you're carrying a lot of heavy stuff, because I thought about this recently and I've been like, man, if you're carrying a lot of heavy stuff and you're like, man, it's really hard to swim like this, I'm getting tired, and you start to sink, I'm like, okay, got it. But you just take the stuff off, you know, and then you dive down afterwards to grab the stuff. You don't just sink and drown and then magically reappear on the you know, area where there's land and stuff again. It's the worst thing ever in these video games.
To be fair, at least they have some kind of swimming, where in other games where you touch water, you instantly die.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's another thing of video games, too. It's like, yeah, the games that have, like, you know, obviously for, I think, Infamous is a good example where, you know,
Sonic.
You have electricity powers, and, you know, if you touch the water, I could see you short-circuiting yourself and it being bad. But yeah, in regular video games where you can't get in the water because you can't swim or whatever, and you just appear back somewhere else, that's the worst thing ever, man.
I agree.
People just need to start taking it out of video games, like, altogether. Yeah, or like Sonic, when you fall in the water and you're like, you drown. It's bad. No, come on, people. People can swim. It's fine.
You do make a good point. Like, they could just be waiting to see what Nintendo does with Breath of the Wild 2 before they announce anything themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because last time the games came out like 4 or 5 days apart, which is insane thinking about timing wise for that. But yeah, at the same time, it's like, yeah, if people in the past made these kind of comparisons, they're gonna make it again.
Oh, for sure.
If they come out close to each other. So I'm like, you just gotta, you know, give it some space. Like, if Nintendo eventually comes out sometime this year and is like, hey, Breath of the Wild, you know, I don't know, Dark World or whatever is coming out, and it's this date, they're gonna hit that most likely. They're not gonna push it. They don't care what else is around it. But if that's the case, then Sony can be like, hey, like, we know the date now, let's move this maybe into next year kind of thing. Nathan's gonna be real sad for his Fantasy Critic, but it's okay. Like, we'll deal with that.
He already has a lead, he's fine.
But if that's the case, man, and they're just holding it for there, I could see why we're not hearing anything about it.
Completely agree.
But also then just let us know, like, hey guys, We don't have a full on date yet. Don't just be all mysterious about
give
it.
Give us something in the next coming,
right?
Months, maybe.
Oh man, Michael, so crazy. Anything else that you'd like to say about the Horizon Forbidden West thing there?
No, just overall, it was great seeing gameplay.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It looks fantastic. It was
so cool, man. The scene fighting the Tremor Tusk and kind of zipping around, because one of the new things they showed besides the, you know, the Valor Strikes or whatever they call it. You have like this kind of rope dart type of thing.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember if they called it rope dart or rope caster, which I think one of the weapons is a rope caster, but mm-hmm. now it allows you to pull yourself towards these points.
Like a grappling hook.
Yeah. Like a grappling hook. Really cool stuff. Yeah. It's like zooming. Yeah. Zooming past with all those things. And then kind of combining that with this new like glider, which canonically makes sense. It looks like the shield things mm-hmm. that those like crab with the shell walkers carry and stuff in the first game, and I was like, dude, this looks so cool.
So oh many, my gosh. I will say, and this is just more of a pet peeve of mine,
yeah,
when I was watching the trailer and then she finds the dude injured and stuff,
oh yeah, yeah.
and she has the water mm-hmm. and he's drinking it, and like every like 6 or 7 seconds he grabs it and goes like, I understand you're injured, you're wounded, but dude, yeah. you don't need to chug it that fast and like grip it from her hands. Like every second he was doing it, like, okay,
yeah, he was real thirsty.
He was real thirsty.
Like, why are you so thirsty, man? Like, dying makes people thirsty, apparently.
Apparently, but overall, it was great.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the last thing I'll say about it, just because you know, it's obviously it's so much positive stuff in there. Aside from the lack of release date or window and kind of thing there. The thing that I noticed on, I think, the third time going through and watching, because I watched, you know, once on my own, once for the reacts for Kind of Funny kind of mm-hmm. stuff, and then once again, not on my phone, but on the TV instead to get, like, the full, like, HD kind of stuff.
Yep.
When I was watching that third time, I was noticing Aloy's hair kind of crazy.
Really?
In the actual, like, whole, like, cutscenes and things like that, even going through just like regular, you know, semi-controlled cutscenes, like leading out of gameplay to the regular stuff, her hair is a little bit crazy. Mm. Like, it, especially when it's close up, when yeah, the injured dude, right? He's drinking his water, crazy, right? He's getting real hydrated. So during that whole scene there, her hair is like clipping through her like clothes and things. And I'm like, I see this now. Like, when I was watching my phone for the first time, I'm so focused on what's going on, I'm not seeing these things. But now, watching it a few times, I'm like, something looks weird. I paid more attention, and I'm like, oh yeah, her hair is like straight up going through her clothes. It kind of also goes through her bow on her back as she's running around. And I was like, huh.
Maybe that's another sign the game still...
Yeah, maybe a little bit further away, or just doesn't have the type of like extremely insane polish that, you know, other like games have, where, you know, the hair moves around certain things. I thought in the part of the trailer where she's hiding in the, you know, the red grass, and one of those, what do they call them, one of the raptor dinosaurs, right, he's like going by and his tail like swings over her, I thought that I saw her like duck a little bit to like avoid the tail, and I thought that was a cool looking kind of thing. I don't know if that was actually intentional or not, but you know, the actual hair clipping through after a while, I was like, I can't unsee it now. it's bugging me,
right?
I know you're kind of going through and things and it's not like fully polished yet, but you're working on it, right? So
I want to preface, like, our critiques here are very
super minor,
very nitpicky, yeah. critiques that aren't like major things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not something that I would even probably notice playing the regular game.
Yeah,
unless now I'm like looking for it all the time. But by the time this comes out, I assume I'm gonna have forgotten about it, mm-hmm. so it'll be fine. But very, very cool overall.
I agree. Good Thursday. Oh,
man, such an exciting week. Yeah, Thursday was insane with all these announcements, and then, you know, Far Cry was like ending off the week. It was okay. No problem. But oh man, Michael. So many things there. I know we didn't play a whole lot of games this week. What was the game that you said you played one game specifically?
The one I re-downloaded was Transformers Devastation.
What the?
Yeah. So random. I saw on YouTube, a person I watch mm-hmm. was Picora. Playing it. Not Picora. I wish it'd be Picora. But was playing it. And I'm like, huh. I enjoyed the gameplay of this.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen Transformers, like, old stuff, so it has that cringy old stuff. But I'm like, huh, I enjoyed the gameplay, and I looked it up. It's made by Platinum Games.
Yeah, I was going to say, this was a Platinum game.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh, I'll try it again. Downloaded it, and I've been playing. I'm like, yeah, this is actually surprisingly fun. All right, I want to keep playing this.
Was that a game that we got for PS Plus?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, because I distinctly remember, I think I have this game also, but I don't know why I have it.
It's fun. It's almost like an RPG because you can just equip things and different guns and swords and upgrade stuff. Okay. So yeah.
Nice. Now, would you say it has that, you know, general platinum flair and everything for sure?
Oh yeah, it's the gameplay is top notch.
Nice. Okay. Equal to Nier, some might say.
Oh, definitely. Maybe even surpassing Nier in some cases.
Yeah, like, makes Bayonetta look like garbage.
Oh God, what is Bayonetta? It's trash.
Oh man, I did appreciate the art style of that game from what I remember. It has that way more like hyper cartoony kind of look, but it feels like it fits with kind of the action going on.
100%.
So okay, that's man, that's a blast from the past.
It is a blast from the past. Random game. Crazy. Didn't think I'd ever play again.
Jeez, man. I think the only ones that I did, I think last weekend, probably after we recorded and stuff, I had like a full binge of Mass Effect 1. So I'm trying to think. I'm getting probably closer to the end of like the main story kind of stuff.
Oh, nice.
I know that I've been kind of diligently going around through all the different galaxies and doing side missions and things there. And I got annoyed because I missed one mission because I talked to, I think there's a character in Mass Effect 1 called, I think his name is Rear Admiral Kahoku. And one, I think his name is one of the coolest in there because it sounds like Hawaiian and stuff. But also, like, you know, he has this mission where you're looking for his Marines that were, you know, like, lost out in space. And if you find them, then you basically, you know, let him know what happened to them because they were, you know, eaten and slash destroyed by this thresher maw on like one of these planets, and they were kind of lured there to on like a trap kind of thing. And if you report that back to him, then he goes looking for whoever like trapped his Marines and whatnot to get even with them. And at that point, there's another mission that you can basically continue on doing if you talk with Kahoku about this other character that he knows. But if you've already told him that you found his Marines and he's gone, then you can't ever get him again to finish that side quest. So I was like, it's super annoying.
Guess I'll have to restart the game again.
Yeah, my choice was like, man, I can either go back like 9 hours to get this other mission or just keep going. And I was like, I just got to keep going. Yeah. There's no way. I've already played the thing before. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't need to see it again.
But yeah, so I mean, I kind of been going through that for quite a while last weekend. And then throughout the week, it's been so busy that I really just kind of hopped into Cozy Grove over and over again.
It's so nice seeing you play Cozy Grove. That's such nice a slice thing. Of life relaxing feel.
Yeah, and it's not even like anymore like I get relaxed from it, you know? I mean, I guess like technically speaking, I probably do because it like is happening at the end of the day and I'm on the couch and I've like fallen asleep a few times because the music's just going on and it's like pretty chill and stuff. And then I just end up falling asleep and waking up a few hours later on the couch and I'm like, man, I should really go to bed.
It's amazing.
So that's happened a few times now where I'm just like, man, I guess I just keep jumping into it because I know every day gets me closer to that 90-day trophy. And then I'm just
subconsciously your body knows you need this to just fully relax.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I have no idea, but yeah, I just keep playing it. It's nice. It's fun for what it is, you know. It's a weird experience that I just keep coming back, and it's probably just because I don't have the time at the end of the day to like go into a huge thing. Yeah. I'm just like, I just got to do something small.
I would even say minus you wanting to get the trophies, but that feelings you have for the game, I think, is a big appeal of Animal Crossing.
Yeah,
okay. So things you can just jump into. Right. Whenever, go and do a couple things, pop out, get relaxing feel. Some people fall asleep to it because the music's so good.
Okay. But those some people be Michael Panarello?
I've done it a couple times.
Oh, dang.
At night, I'll be playing. When I was playing Animal Crossing, I'll be like, okay. And I'll wake up like at 12:30. I'm like, oh my God. Like, yeah, I'm still in Animal Crossing.
Time to go to bed. Your character's like knocking on the glass. Like, hey, get up. I want to do stuff or I want to go to sleep.
That's funny.
Oh, man. But yeah, I think besides that, yesterday, I found out that, because I've periodically checked trophy lists and stuff, I saw that apparently somebody had the platinum for Aerial Knight finally.
Oh, nice.
So, funny weird story about what we figured out eventually happened with that is that the, you know, one of the missing costumes, right, that was unobtainable for some reason, found out that on, I don't know if it was just the PS5 version or just all the other versions in general, apparently there was a Switch exclusive, like Switch console exclusive outfit that only unlocked if you bought it, I think, on the Switch. And that was in all the games.
That sucks.
So that's why I was like, oh, that's such a weird like bug to like not think about and stuff. But yeah, it made sense. But when I went back into it after I found out someone had the platinum and stuff, I saw that they just basically removed the locker. And you choose these outfits out of these lockers that look all like fancy and high tech. Right. And so that locker is gone now, but there was the one for the mini game. And so I, bit the bullet and I went through this mini game thing. Man, mini game.
You did it though.
Brain breaking there. And the crazy thing is I was like, oh my gosh, I'm dying here. Like trying to do this mini game over and over again. Cause I kept getting to like the exact same place. And I was like, how much more can there be? Like there can't be this much more. And eventually, like, I was like, I got to know how much more there is so I can, like, morally boost myself. And I looked it up, and I was, like, several seconds away from finishing the minigame. And I was like, okay, well, now that I know the end is in sight, I can do this. And so I went again a few more times, and I finished it.
Like, there you go.
So platinum that game. On to the next thing.
I mean, it'll be cool to see what his next game is.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good first game. Man, the music in there is amazing. It's
fantastic.
Like, that was one of the main, like, draws for this game. Like, actually started, once I started playing it and everything, and I was like, oh, real good. I love the bass jazzy going on and the jazziness. Ooh, real nice. But that's all I've got for you this week, Michael. Since we only played a few games, let's play another game. Take me on a side quest,
Michael. Oh, it's time for a side quest. Now, this week is going to be an indie video game quiz.
Okay.
Just a bunch of indie video game questions that I've compiled. Hopefully you get them all right. All right.
Let's go.
Number one. On Metacritic, what is the highest rated indie game?
Oh, what?
A? Now, also, I feel like another advantage for you.
Yeah.
As you've noticed past week, I always make D a joke answer.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know.
You got three choices.
I technically have, usually, what is that, 33% chance of
exactly
getting it?
Okay, so number one, on Metacritic, what is the highest rated indie game? A, Disco Elysium. Now, this is the original releases of these games.
Okay.
Not like updated versions.
Yeah.
B, Celeste.
Ooh.
C, Hollow Knight. Or D, Little Adventure on the Prairie.
Man. That's tough. Those are all great
games. All very good games.
I'm gonna say Disco Elysium.
Is Disco Elysium your final answer?
Yeah, I gotta go with that one.
Be incorrect.
Dang. Okay,
the original Disco Elysium has a 91.
Yeah.
Hollow Knight has a 90. Celeste has a 94.
Wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good for Celeste.
Yeah, because that has been the only game out of the... I mean, the Celeste won, I think, awards for the music and stuff, I believe. But yeah, Disco Elysium is the only one that's won for like a game of the year type of thing.
The Disco Elysium Final Cut
has
a 94 as well.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I didn't want to do an updated version. I wanted to do the original base one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Number two. In the game Shovel Knight, there are many cheat codes that are available, such as typing letters WSWWAEAW in the name entering screen, which changes most of the words shovel, knight, health, mana, and fate to the word butts.
Is that a real thing?
That's a real thing.
Wow.
It's all video on it. Okay. But how many are there in total cheat codes?
Oh my gosh.
A, about 250. B, about 320. C, about 560. Or D, it's over 9,000.
Dang.
I can repeat them again if you want.
Okay, well, you said 250.
250, 320,
320,
560.
Jeez. Let's go 320.
Final answer?
Yeah.
You'd be correct.
Ah, wow.
Nicely done. Jeez, I'm like, holy crap, there's a bunch of cheat codes.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, okay. I would have never suspected they had that.
I would not have either.
And is it all just name based? Like you?
There's some name based ones. There's some input ones. There's some like things you find within the game.
Wow. Okay.
Number three, Sinner: Sacrifice for Redemption is a third person action game that takes influences from other boss rush games and the Souls series.
Mm-hmm.
But what specific day did you platinum it?
Oh my gosh!
A.
You're the worst.
February 3rd, 2020. I could have done the exact time, but I was like, no, that's too much.
Awful.
B, April 22nd, 2020. C, July 17th, 2020. Or D, all day, every day.
That'll be a D. oh, man. Jeez. When did I platinum this game? Oh, my gosh.
At least you know it's in 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
But the months are all around.
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, man. Okay, hold on.
Can we repeat it?
And you said because I'm going on by the months. So you said February, April, or
July.
July. I want to say July.
It's July, your final answer.
Yeah.
Being correct. Dang. April.
It was April.
22nd, 2020.
Okay.
Number 4. Uh-huh. In The Messenger, the shopkeeper has an optional cabinet rant involving the shop cabinet.
Yeah.
Once activated, the ninja is forced to read all the dialogue that pops up. None of it is skippable. How many different rants does the shopkeeper have in total?
Okay.
That's including the DLC as well.
Oh, man. Okay.
A, 3. Mm-hmm. B, 4. C, 5. D, now ask yourself, why are you so curious about my cabinet?
Okay, so you said 3, 4, 5?
3, 4, 5.
I'm going to say, if we're counting the DLC, mm-hmm. I'll say 4.
Your final answer?
Because yeah, we'll go with that.
You're correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the main game, there's 3, mm-hmm. that's why. Okay, cool.
And then
cool.
One in, I think it was like Panic, Picnic Panic?
Yeah,
like something like that.
Panic at the Disco.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, number 5. Hollow Knight is said to be the greatest game ever made in the history of the world. But Hollow Knight was not the original name.
Man.
What was the name of the game, the original name of the game, and when was it first created? A, Hungry Knight, and was created or announced at Lumen Dare Dame Game Jam 2013. B, The Empty Knight, was announced, created for PAX 2015. C, The Knight Who Wanders, GDC 2011. Or D, I Am the Walrus, Emmy London Studio, 1967.
Hmm. And you said the second part of that is when it was announced?
Mm-hmm. Or what it was made for, initially. Conference to show it off.
Okay. I'm going to say the first option then. You said, what, Hungry Knight?
A Hungry Knight, the Lumen Dare Game Jam 2013.
Yeah.
Final answer?
Yeah.
You'd be correct.
Wow, okay. I mean, I recognize the second part of that question. Mm-hmm. Hungry Knight, I would have never guessed that was the original name.
It had very simplistic concept where you would have to get food to help villagers around.
Oh, okay.
But then it evolved into a holiday.
Yeah, I was like, that's way different.
Yeah, way different. So you got...
So what, 3 out of 5?
3 out of 5, yeah.
All right, that's not bad.
Not bad.
Dang, man.
I'm going to give you more for future reference, more of your trophy-related questions, so be ready.
Testing the limits of my trophy recognition.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming back again for another episode of the Bros and Consoles podcast. As always, we come to you each and every weekend, sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday, just kind of whenever it works with our schedule. There
you go.
Next week, since we already talked about it, will most likely be kind of an E3 predictions week. So
E3, Summer Game Fest, and other...
Yeah, other things, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Because it's an interesting thing when we don't even have the schedule yet for what mm-hmm. E3 is going to be. We know only really the date and time. Actually, we don't even know the time, I don't think, yet for Xbox's showcase. Maybe we do. But we know the date is, what, July? 13th. Or, sorry, June 13th. Otherwise, though, we know that a bunch of other places or outlets. Not outlets. What's the right word? Companies?
Companies, yeah.
A bunch of other companies are going to be having their own kind of events in E3 as well. But we don't know too much about everything yet, which is surprising seeing how close we are. Maybe by next week, we'll actually have the actual
solid,
announced like dates and times. And if that's the case, it'll be easier to kind of figure out what predictions is kind of going to be wrapped around. But mm-hmm. if we don't have that, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll just, you know, spitball it, you know?
Exactly.
As we always do, right? But until next time, thank you guys again for listening and hope you get to play some cool video games or at least enjoy yourself and maybe fall asleep to some. I've been Nathan. This has been Michael, and we out.
Peace.
Cheers, everybody.